want you to lift up a shout in this place. I want you to lift up a shout in this place. Come on, if you're going to shout, I want to hear you shout. I want a shout of victory, a shout of faith. A shout of faith. Hallelujah, Lord, we worship you. You alone are worthy, Jesus. Ah, everybody say Jesus. Demons tremble at that name. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Wow, do I feel God's presence in this place? Come on, one more time. Let's give the Lord a hand clap and just honor him. Oh, Jesus, so worthy, so worthy. Amen. Amen. Be seated, everybody. Thank you, worship team. Wow, I've never heard you better. Nicole, you were killing that song. That song is dead now. It can never be sung again. That 100 billion, that's a wrecker right there. I don't know how you do it, but you're doing it. Hallelujah. Give the worship team a good God bless you. Awesome. Well, I've got some good news. I want to give you a couple of quick updates before we get into the message. If you're joining us online, so glad you're here. We, all through November, we had a conversation in our church about how God is more than enough. And how many believe that is true? He is more than enough. And so we usually don't fall short when we're serving God and doing what God wants us to do. And we did our Beyond offering for outreach this year. Our goal was $150,000, and you guys came up with $158,300. Everybody say more than enough. Hallelujah. And then last Sunday, I was with, we were expecting maybe about 20 potential leaders to join us at our Leadership Pathways retreat last Sunday up at Mount Hermon, and there were 43 that came. Which this is our first time to do this. It was large. It exceeded our expectations in every way. And so we're roaring into the new year, ready with leaders and ready with finances to reach the lost at any cost. Can you say amen? So we're doing really good. Thank you so much. Now $80,000 has already come in for the reach offering. So you guys are incredible. Thank you. And thank you for your continued faithfulness. And then, wow, what a great testimony about reaching the homeless and all the outreach that's going on. And I think, did we get all the ornaments off the tree? Is that all done? So all the gifts for the needy are, he's more than enough there. Hallelujah. So we're doing great on that. And then I wanted to mention, because people have asked about the bereavement service, which is this Friday, the service for the Christmas bereavement service. How this got started was when we realized that for many people, Christmas is not a holly jolly time because they've lost a loved one. And it can be a lonely time. It can be a sad time. Not that they want to be, not that they want to be down, but, you know, when you've faced loss, Christmas takes on a different meaning. A friend of mine is a pastor here in the city, and he lost his son. He told me and my wife didn't want to celebrate Christmas anymore. It just wasn't the same. So the Holy Spirit spoke to us. We started this service 2 or 3 years ago, and it's so beautiful and so healing and so lifting. So I encourage you to let your friends know that there will be a special service this Friday at 7 o'clock. Come yourself. Bring your friends that are facing a hard time, and it's really a gentle, beautiful experience that we have together in that Christmas bereavement service. Then finally, Pastor Carol, could you grab a microphone and join me here? Pastor Carol Cohen is our women's pastor. She's also the executive director of Gateway Community Outreach, and we've all been feeling this paradise fire situation you guys have seen in the news, and we were all breathing the air. And now it's becoming clear ways that we can help, ways that we connect. So we want to give you an opportunity in today's service and maybe for the next few weeks, if you'd like, to be a part of a couple of opportunities. I want Pastor Carol to explain to us, how can we help?
Yeah. Well, it's because people have been asking that we want to be responsive here. And I was reminded in that song that we just sang, you know, Jesus said he didn't want to leave one behind, not one left without hope. And we've been helping a lot of people. We've been helping human trafficking victims. Mm-hmm. We've been helping the veterans. We've been helping a lot of different populations. But there's still people who are hurting. And so that's what we want to respond to. So if you have a heart towards giving towards the victims of the Paradise Fire, they've been lost so much. In fact, we have a family that has come to our church, and they've actually lost everything in the fire, and they're here, and they have a daughter. And how many of you would like to face Christmas with your kids with having lost everything? So we want to reach out. You know, we will be vetting all the stories. We're going to be partnering also with a church in Paradise, mm-hmm. the Evangelical Christian.
Actually, that church, Evangelical Free Church.
Free Church. Okay.
Every single person in that church lost everything.
Lost everything.
And so I mean, they're working with us.
Yeah. I can't imagine. John and I were talking about they're sitting there, and in 30 minutes, everything you've worked for your whole life is gone. What do you do? You know, so as a Christian community, I think we can help give people hope. We can't replace everything, but maybe we can give them hope for the next season, right? And so that's what we want to do. So we're going to be, there is an opportunity for you either on your envelope or through Push Pay. You can just identify the Paradise Fire Relief. And we'll be working with the church in Paradise and with other opportunities. And as God sends us people, we will vet the stories. Unfortunately, we have to do that, but we'll vet the stories and make sure any contributions go towards what we intended them to.
Right. Great leadership, Pastor Carol. Thank you. Let's give her a hand. Appreciate that. So you can give now on your, if you're using the app or prepare your gift, just an opportunity to do good. We just pass it right through and get it to where the need is most felt. All right. How many are ready for the Word of God? Grab a teaching outline and let's eat. All right. Did you guys see all the crazy stuff? It's a wonderful time of the year, but it's a crazy time of the year. Did you see all that Black Friday stuff? Pushing, shoving, people getting injured, people going to the hospital. I mean, it happens every year. And what is going on with some of this stuff? We were talking with some friends yesterday, and they were telling us about, we started talking about the living nativity scene that I guess in Santa Clara, I've never been to it, but there's a church in Santa Clara somewhere that's for years done a living nativity scene. And this friend was telling us that that was shut down for a couple of years. And I said, shut down? Why is that? They said some people got offended at the message of Christmas. It's at a church in a church parking lot. And I'm like, come on, people, what is going on? We're offended. I mean, we are... There is so much junk going on in the culture and in the... Can we just talk for a minute about peace on earth without somebody getting their nightie in a knot? I mean, can we just say, Merry Christmas, Jesus is Lord? We're not forcing our religion on you, but it's Christmas. Come on, get over it, you know? For 2,000 years, we've been telling this story. I think we ought to keep telling the story. So, you know, with all that stuff, and then you know, with so much that's going on with the media and the news and the reports and Washington, D.C. and around the world and burning Paris down and all, I mean, it's just, it's a crazy, crazy world. And if you're not careful, all this negativity will press down on you. It affects you in your soul, your spirit. And so, you know, well, I don't want to be too excited. I don't want to miss the boat, And what I'm saying with this new series is I believe there's a wonder about Christmas that we should be living out and experiencing every single day of the year. Can I have an amen? There should be a joy. There should be an awe. There should be a wow in us. Not just because of Christmas. Oh, there's plenty to think about that could lift us and that would inspire us and place in us a sense of awe and wonder. And if we're not careful, we can lose the wonder of living. We can lose our innocence. We can lose our focus. We're so focused on what's wrong. This is too big. This is too small. This is too loud. This is too quiet. This isn't said right. This wasn't phrased correct. We're so focused on what's wrong that we completely miss the wonder and the awe. You know what I've decided to do? I'm unsubscribing. I'm unsubscribing from all the negative junk. And I'm going to keep the sense of wonder. I'm going to keep my innocence. I'm going to keep my love for my fellow man. I'm going to keep compassion. I'm going to keep empathy. I'm going to keep honor and respect for all people. And I'm going to celebrate Christmas, and I'm going to have a good time this Christmas. And I believe that don't let the world squeeze you into its mold right now. Keep the wonder and the awe alive. Psalm 105 says, remember the wonders. Remember the wonders that he has performed. Christmas is a time of wonder. And the solution for us is not more alcohol, not more food, not more party. The solution for us is more wonder. Reconnecting with the wonder of living, the wonder of Jesus, and the wonder of the season. You go back to the Christmas story and you read through the Gospel of Luke, you read through Matthew and recount the story, and it's a story full of wonders. In fact, let me just give you a few wonder verses. Luke 1, the Passion Translation says, the angel reassured Mary, saying, do not yield to your fear, Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with what? A wonderful gift. It's so easy to let fear and the feeling that, I don't know, why is this happening? But God is delighting in us. He's delighting in us, and he's got wonders in store for us. Luke chapter 1, verse 65, the Living Bible, talks about how when they saw the star, that wonder fell on the whole neighborhood. Wow. Wonder. The news of what had happened spread through the Judean hills. And then the second chapter of Luke, the great army of angels returned again to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see this wonderful thing that's happened. You know, there are wonderful things that are happening, and you need to focus on them. You need to look for the wonder. Look at the donut and not the hole. And lose that case of the Krabbies, all right? Let's get the wonder back. Let's get the joy back. Hey, Jesus is alive. He's come for us. He loves us. Something wonderful is happening. Let's enjoy these beautiful moments all through the year. And when you talk about the events surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ, let's look at them again and see if we can find the wonder of it. It should create a sense of wonder. And here's what I would love to say to us today. I believe we can expect in this supernatural time the Lord to move supernaturally in our lives no matter what season we're in. My message today is entitled Entering into a Wonderful Season. And I believe for many of you today, right now, God wants to do wonderful things. Right now and moving forward, God has good things for each of us, and he's bringing us into a wonderful season. Here's the reason I say that. Number one, Christmas is about supernatural timing. There's something supernatural about Christmas itself. I know that that's not usually the way it's emphasized. We tell the story and we think about Santa and we have the trees. But if you get right back down to the bones of the Christmas story, it's all about supernatural timing. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Now, what Paul is saying there is that God was working in the earth, and he has a timing to everything that he does. And when he sent Jesus to be born, the very timing of the birth of Christ was a supernatural moment. It's amazing to look back, even just in history. And I know maybe you're a little bored with history, but I love history, and I like to study the timing of the birth of Jesus because so much was going on there. First of all, the Roman Empire had created the ideal conditions, the transportation system in the Roman Empire, the roads that Rome built connecting cities became like the internet of its day, the superhighways connecting communities and cities, making travel and making communication accessible to the whole world so that Jesus came right in a moment when communication was opening up, travel was opening up, enabling the gospel message to be communicated to hundreds of millions of people in just a few short decades. Had he come earlier, it would never have happened the way that it did. But the Roman Empire had, and of course the Roman Empire was a warlike empire, conquering cultures and peoples, vicious and cruel. And even that contributed to the receptivity of people to the gospel, because they had trusted in their gods to protect them. And here comes Rome, rolling over their gods, rolling over their temples, and completely dominating the world. And people are saying, where is God? Maybe I'm not serving the right God. In other words, there was a spiritual vacuum in the world of people saying, these idols are doing us no good. I wonder if there's a true God. So the Roman Empire prepared the way. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. And then, of course, the whole spread of Greek culture, Alexander the Great and all of that, the language of the Greeks, which became a universal language from world to world. And the language of the Greeks that spread throughout every culture, Koine Greek, which just happens to be the language that the Bible was written in, so that the scriptures could not only roll across those super highways into those spiritual vacuums, but the language of the people, scripture, the scriptures, the translations of Jeremiah and Isaiah and the words of Moses and the writings of the apostles and the prophets were available in the common language of the people. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, that none should perish, but that all might be saved. And then at the same time, for centuries prior to the birth of Jesus, the development of the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, and the giving of the scriptures that were written, the words of Isaiah, the words of Jeremiah, the writings of Daniel, the writings of Moses, all of this being prepared so that in the fullness of time, when Jesus comes, he fulfills perfectly the scriptures that had been prophesied before him in the fullness of time. Now that's all for the history lesson. Here's what I want to say, why this would matter to you. God has a timing for everything in your life. Some of you are saying, God, why haven't you done it by now? Lord, by now I should have been married. By now I should have been out of debt. By now we should have this baby. By now, Lord, what about your timing? And God has a plan. God has a plan. He is in control. Don't you worry about God and his timing. He's the master of perfect timing. And when you're waiting, trust him. And when something happens before you knew, I don't know if I was ready, trust the timing of the Lord. Because God is doing something great in the lives of his people. He has a way of making everything come together in our lives at just the right time. And we can trust in that. Ecclesiastes 3 said, there's a time and a season for every purpose. Can I ask you today, are you trusting God's timing for marriage and business and family? Are you trusting his timing with your finances? I talked to a little bit of a desperate businessman today. The stock market has been a little crazy for a while, and it's pinching him, and it's causing cash flow problems, and he wasn't expecting. Are we ready to trust God in his timing? That he has a plan and that he will provide and he will take care of us. Just a little reminder here. God's got a plan and he has a timing. Actually, this is, I can't help but brag just a little bit. My wife has written this beautiful book, and this is exactly what her book is about. It's called Unexpected Seasons. About how, you know, God has seasons in a woman's life. God has seasons in all of our lives. And understanding what God is doing in each and every season, if you're in a winter season, if you're in a spring season, if you're in a fall season, if you're in a summer season, God has a season for you. And shameless plug here, I'm not going to lie. This would be a great gift for the woman in your life. Kathy's going to be in the lobby. You want me to give this away? Do you have it? Okay, give it to that lady right behind you. Merry Christmas. Okay. I'm proud of my wife. She did a great job on that book. So Christmas is about supernatural timing. Understand the timing of the Lord and trust Him. Rest in that. Believe that God is doing a good job with timing in your life. Number two, Christmas is also a time of wonder because it's about signs, wonders, and miracles. The birth of Jesus was a sign. Let's talk about signs, wonders, and miracles. The birth of Jesus was a sign. Isaiah 7, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. This is hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And God says to Isaiah, there's going to be a sign, and a virgin will conceive, and this is the beginning. So Isaiah writes it down, and hundreds of years later, it happens exactly as the sign predicted. What is a sign? A sign is something that points you in the right direction. A sign is something that gives you insight. It gives you direction. It gets you pointed in a better way, toward a better direction. Signs communicate heavenly information. And by the way, signs are a part of every believer's life. These signs shall follow those who believe. Are there signs in your life? I can tell you about healings that have taken place. I can tell you about things that have happened here in our church and wonderful stories. Some of my favorite signs are the personal things, those little moments where God just does something. It's like He's winking. It's kind of like between Him and me. And it moves you, and you just say, I'm reading this, and it's amazing. I can remember when we were in I haven't had many painful days leading this church, but I've had some. And in 2002, 2003, they were super painful years, and we were struggling to get into this building. We weren't sure if it was going to work. We didn't have the money. It was such a pressure time. There were so many gut punches and so much pain. But right in the middle of those times, something started happening in my life where periodically there would be double rainbows. Now, I'm not talking about one rainbow. Talking about double rainbows. And the reason that was a sign to me is because God had been giving me scriptures about out of trouble will come double. Because I was in trouble, but God was promising me a double portion. Long story short, we ended up, you know, the Lord provided. Here we are. I mean, 15 years later, we're still growing and still expanding. But that was a hard, hard time. And our church has much more than doubled. Much more. And God has helped us to reach so many people. It's been amazing. But when you see a double rainbow, it's a little thing that happens between God and me. In fact, one of our ladies in our church painted a beautiful picture of a double rainbow. I have it hanging in my office. Signs. Say, what is that, crazy? Is that super spiritual? David said, Lord, give me a sign. Sometimes you just need a sign. Sometimes you just need God to show up and kind of confirm something. You think you're on the right path, but you just need a sign. You just want, and if you're too busy looking for the problems, you will miss the signs. If you're so cynical about how the world is and you're so negative about people and you're so down and you allow the world to squeeze you into that mold, you'll never see the signs that God has. There are signs all around us. And God wants to do supernatural things in our lives. And Christmas is about signs, wonders, and miracles. Were there signs in the Christmas story? Think about it. Were there any signs in the Christmas story? The shepherds were told that Christ Himself was a sign. That's Luke chapter 2, verse 12. And Joseph was visited. Mary's husband Joseph was visited three times by angels in a dream. And if you read the story, he needed each and every one of those visitations. God showed up to put a sign there. And what did the shepherds see in the east? A sign in the heavens, right? A star. Are you looking for the signs or are you looking for the problems? I'm looking for the signs and wonders and miracles. By the way, the Old Testament scriptures that we were talking about, over 300 prophecies from the Old Testament were perfectly fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Do you know what the chances of that are? One scientist said, according to the laws of science, it would require 200 billion Earths populated with 4 billion people each to come up with one person whose life could fulfill just 100 accurate prophecies. And yet Jesus, as a sign, fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament supernaturally. So why can't we enjoy some signs, wonders, and miracles? Christmas is also about wonders. The birth of Jesus was a wonder. Isaiah went on to declare, two chapters after chapter 7, in chapter 9, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called," say it with me, "Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus himself is a wonder beyond compare. 2,000 years ago, wise men came from the east on a long, long journey, and their sole purpose was to worship this king. He's a wonder all by himself. Before he did his first miracle, just his birth, just his presence in the earth is a wonderful thing. His name shall be called Wonder. What's a wonder? A wonder is something that God does. It's so unusual, it makes you wonder. What's the meaning of this? A wonder is something that interrupts the boredom, the cynicism, the pedantic rhythm of monotony in your life. It interrupts that and it causes you, I wonder what this means. What in the world is this? What's happening? And your life should be filled with those moments where if you're looking and sensitive, you're gonna have those moments where you say, I wonder. What does this mean? What's the meaning of this? Is God trying to communicate to me? And Jesus is a communication from heaven about God's love. And every time we have Christmas, there should be a sense of wonder about it. You know, when Jesus ministered, it says in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, that people were saying, everything he does is wonderful. He makes even the deaf to hear, and he gives speech to those who cannot speak. Were there wonders in the Christmas story? Think about it. You bet there were. Angels appearing to shepherds and teenage virgins, telling Mary specifically, you're going to be pregnant. She says, how can this happen? I've never known a man. That's a wonder. That'll make you wonder. That'll make your father wonder too. That'll make your fiance wonder. But you know, if you're too cynical, you lose all the wonder. And God wants to do wonders in our lives. Zechariah is worshiping in the temple, and an angel shows up and tells him that his wife, who is past the normal time for bearing children, that she also, Elizabeth, will also become pregnant. Zechariah is thinking, what is happening? It's a wonder. And then he starts to speak unbelief. And the angel closes his mouth and he can't speak. I think he was wondering at that point, is God trying to speak to me? Be careful not to speak unbelief. Angels don't like it. When God is telling you, I'm going to do something wonderful, say, I believe this. I don't understand it, but I receive it. I'm ready. Stop ruining everything with negative words. Don't talk away your blessing. Don't complain away your blessing. Keep the sense of wonder in your life. How long has it been since you were awakened with a sense of wonder? God, you're doing awesome things. I can't believe what you're doing. Let that come back into your life. Were there wonders in the Christmas story? You better believe it. Wonders, and there are wonders that God has for you. The last piece of this is signs, wonders, and what's the third one? Miracles. Were there miracles in the Christmas story? The whole thing is a miracle. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. That's for free. But in the miracle of Christmas, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us through the power of the Holy Spirit. A woman becomes pregnant without the aid of a father. What? How do we get our minds around the incarnation, that Jesus, God, is born, takes on human form, fully God, and yet fully human? How do you figure that out? You can't. Don't try to figure miracles out. If it's a miracle, you can't understand it. And the incarnation is a miracle. As a miracle, it can never be fully understood or explained about how God the Son can become a human being and still remain divine. And yet, as a foundation of our faith, it inspires a sense of wonder in us. The celebration of Christmas is a celebration of God's miracle power. And as Spirit-filled believers, as Holy Spirit people, we embrace the unexplainable. You're living beneath your privilege if you refuse to embrace what you do not understand. Faith is a way to understand things that are hard to understand. Faith, use your faith muscle. Say, but we're believing for a miracle in our lives, but we don't know how it's going to happen. Exactly. Lord, we're believing you for something wonderful. We're believing you for a miracle in our lives. And if you're a follower of Jesus, it's signs, wonders, and miracles are your birthright. It should be a part of your life. It's your inheritance. And if things are looking difficult to you, I don't know if this can happen, please remember one of the messages of the Christmas story was what happened in Mary's life when she said, how can these things be? How is it that I could give birth to the Son of God? And the angel said, with God, all things are possible. Lord, we ask you for miracles in our lives. It's not Christmas without signs, wonders, and miracles. I'll tell you that. It's a part of the story. And so what I'm saying to us today is very simple. We serve a miracle God. He wants to do surprising things. He's a God of supernatural timing. He's a God of wonders. He's a God of miracles. God works. And so if you're feeling discouraged, just open up and let that sense of wonder come back in and bathe you. Come back to your, get rid of your cynicism. Come back to your innocence. Believe again. Because God does wonders. And he wants to do wonders in our lives. Bow your heads, everybody. I'm going to pray that you will enter in to a season of wonders. God has great things ahead for you. Father, I pray for each and every person listening to my voice. As we sort of walk now, the 9th of December, getting closer to the Christmas season, and now the parties begin and the celebrations begin and the decorations are up. As we enter into this season, I pray it would be a season of miracles, signs, and wonders for your people. I pray for people today who feel out of timing. It's too late. It should have happened by now. It's over. It's impossible. Lord, I pray that you would restore supernatural hope. It's never too late. It's never impossible with God. I pray for those, Lord, that are discouraged and they're in a place of lack today. Lord, I pray that you would supernaturally provide everything that's needed. We lift up our friends and neighbors that have lost so much, Lord, in the fires and in other tragedies all around us. Lord, provide for them and provide for all your people, Lord. I pray for those, Lord, that need a sign. They just need to know one more time you're still with them. Lord, I release signs all through our lives. And I pray that our eyes will be open to the wonders of God. We'll stop looking at the problem and start looking at the answer. Fill us with faith again. Faith in your power. And faith, Lord, for good days ahead. We praise you for this. In Jesus' name. Keep your heads bowed. You know, there's one more prayer I'm going to pray over you. I feel like somebody is, I'm going to pray dreams. I'm going to pray that God will release dreams. Hallelujah. Lord, the language of the Holy Spirit, prophecy, vision, and dreams, let it come over this congregation, Lord. Lord, birth dreams in us to dream big again, to dream big for 2019. Because we serve a miracle God. And Lord, I pray even for those that need a prophetic dream, that Lord, you speak to us in the night seasons. Lord, release the power of the Holy Spirit even while we sleep. Let our hearts instruct us while we sleep, Lord. Communicate to us. Guide us in every way. Lord, people need guidance in this room. Business people, parents. We need guidance, Lord, about buying and selling and moving and doing things. We need your supernatural signature on every decision, Lord. Bind us to your perfect will, I pray. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for doing it. If you want to, just lift your hands and receive right now. Just receive the supernatural hope, the supernatural power of Jesus in your life. Come into a supernatural season right now, a season of miracles. Receive it and don't be cynical. Receive it and believe it. Thank you, Father. You can put your hands down. Before we close the service, with every head bowed and eyes closed, I want to just talk for 30 seconds to you. If you're listening to this message and saying, I don't know if I'm connected to Jesus, I don't know if I'm in relationship with him, I don't feel like my sins are forgiven, I don't feel like I am going to heaven, I need Jesus. I need the miracle of his death, burial, and resurrection to wash away my sins. If you're here and you feel away from God and you're concerned, I want to pray for you. I would never embarrass you. But I believe God could touch you right in that seat, right where you are. And if you're here and you need Jesus, and you're ready to open your heart to him, you're away from him, but today it changes, and you want prayer for that, just lift your hand right where you are. Just put it up real fast. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I see your hand. Just anywhere you are. Pastor, pray for me. I need to receive Jesus. I need to turn. I see you also. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for touching your people. Every Christian praying, it's all changing today. Now, Lord, I pray for those. You can put your hands down. I pray for those that have raised their hands. I thank you for touching them. Release a brand new life to them. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Let them experience the love of God so, so strong. Let it rock their world, Lord. Let them never be the same. Let them walk out of this place today knowing that they truly are saved and on their way to heaven. I praise you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name. There were 5 people in the first service, 3 people in this service that I could see just raise their hand. I think we ought to say hallelujah to the Lord for all those people coming to Jesus. I'm going to put a prayer up on the screen. We're going to close with some worship, but let's have a moment to just all say this prayer together. If you raised your hand or if you didn't, this is our prayer. Here we go. Father God, everyone, I thank you that nothing is impossible with you. Though I am surrounded by fear, anger, and pain, I choose to trust in your power and look for signs, wonders, and miracles in this season. Lord Jesus, you alone are the wonder of Christmas. Today I choose to follow you in Christ's name. Amen. Praise God. We're going to worship here for a moment. I'll be back in just a minute. Ushers, thank you for helping us to give. Let's honor the Lord together.
Not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place.
Come on and stand with us.
Was I forsaken? The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place.
He's here.
Come, Holy Spirit, drive us away. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, drive us away. Yeah. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. You come, will you meet me here again? 'Cause all you are, is all you are. Would you meet me here again? Oh, I'm not enough unless you come.
Not for a minute
was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place.
Oh, yes. Thank you for your presence. Just lift your hands. Receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit. He's here. Lord, let your grace, let your peace, let your strength rest on us. And Lord, as we walk out of this building, may signs, wonders, and miracles be our daily experience, Lord. Restore the wonder, restore the joy, and let it all come through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Merry Christmas. Hey, guys, we got you covered. We got you covered all the way through this Christmas season. Next Sunday, the kids are going to sing. We're going to have a beautiful service. Christmas Eve. We have a service right here. And this Friday, Christmas service for the bereaved. Let's celebrate. Let's tell everybody we know there's still hope. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, good friends are down here at the front. God bless.